A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "If only you would heed the voice of the Lord your God and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. For this command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It's not up in the sky that you should say, 'Who will go up into the sky and get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' Nor is it across the sea that you should say, 'Who across the sea to get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' No. It is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out." The word of the Lord.
Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. I pray to you, O Lord, for a time of your favor. In your great mercy, answer me, O God, with your salvation that never fails. Lord, answer, for your mercy is kind. In your great compassion, turn toward me. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. As for me, in my poverty and pain, let your salvation, O God, raise me up. Then I will praise God's name with a song. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you the poor, when they see it, will be glad, and God-seeking hearts will revive. For the Lord listens to the needy and does not spurn his own in their chains. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. For God will bring salvation to Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. The children of his servants shall inherit it. Those who love his name shall dwell there. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia. 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 Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. You have the words of everlasting life. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law, how do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with your whole mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he had said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers and went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. But when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on the way back.' Which one of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. If you see me using a cane, it's because it's my sciatic nerve, and sometimes my my sciatic nerve acts up and I just want, you have the cane for like balance, you know, and in case I need it. It just has to always, it always does, works its way out. And sometimes I go and visit my doctor, a chiropractor who takes care of it. But it flares up every now and the weather is no help sometimes either with that. But I get by, you know, so that's just how it goes, you know. But today we hear a very interesting, wonderful gospel that we are all familiar with. Now, in the interpretations of today's gospel parable tend to focus on the Samaritan, okay? It should, because we always say we want to be a good Samaritan. Even our table, when we feed the poor on Thursday, it's called Samaritan's Table. Some of us are, hopefully you'll be good Samaritans to the people in Texas that are dealing with so much pain and suffering right now. And we generally still are in America. When we see suffering of that kind of magnitude, we tend to always want to step forward and step up to the plate to help people in need. And that whose example of generous service we, of course, are to emulate. But I want us just today to look at another part of the gospel pericope, if you will, the story. And that is that if we can see ourselves in the first place as the one lying beaten and half dead. So if we can put ourselves in that man's predicament and for a moment and think about it. And what leaves us beaten and half dead? It can be a sickness, it can be an illness, it can be someone in our family who we're nursing or we're struggling with. It can be our health. You know, some things that we maybe take for granted. You know, what is it that makes us lie there half dead? And only when we have been loved back to life by the one in whom all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and who makes peace by the blood of his cross, then we are able to go and do likewise. Let me explain it another way. We know the character, all of us know the character George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life, right? Well, it's a wonderful movie too. And that movie is almost 80 years old, but it still speaks multitudes for us. And the character George Bailey, as if we remember, he's going to jump into the river and commit suicide. But what happens is an act of God. Clarence comes down from heaven and he falls in the water. And then George Bailey, instead of committing suicide, goes and rescues Clarence, the angel. And even though, too, in the comedy says that George Bailey says, "You look like an angel that I would get," you know. But that story is to show us that George jumped in the water not to take his own life, but to save another person's life. And so that's what we have today. That's how God's commands, our Lord's commands, are not mysterious. They're not remote. They're real. They're tangible. You know, the Lord's commands are not mysterious and remote. For when God's mercy is already in our mouths and in our hearts, we then are equipped to show it to others. And as that movie goes on and it says, and George Bailey has a view of his life, and Clarence says, "This would have happened to you if you would not have been born, what happened to all the people in George's life that he touched, this would have happened if you were not here. And that all these people would have died, for example, if he was not here. So, God's mercy, then, he equips us to show it and to share it with others. In your words, O Lord, your words, O Lord, are spirit and life.